show on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Hello. We're just going to tell you about this grant that's happening.
Mitchell?
No, not Grant.
Leave it out, Jules. It's not worth it.
Do you know what?
What?
I haven't watched EastEnders since the days of Den and Ange.
Right.
When I used to really like it in the 80s, and I thought they were dynamic, the two of them. Mm. And then she ran off with Brian May, didn't she?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But we tuned into it the other day by mistake, me and the new husband.
It happens.
For about 5 minutes we watched, and it was like, it was so depressing. Mm. And they were all like the sort of celebrities. They all had like Botox lips, and they weren't like that in Walford, were they? They all had blow-dried hair. But it was it was a bit depressing to watch, so we quickly turned over.
Right.
And watched something.
Anyway, so you're going to tell me about Grant.
Well, yeah, I get excited because there's a £3.55 million grant which could help transform a Folkestone site. And I'm a big fan of Folkestone, Paul Andrews.
It's lovely these days, yeah.
We've discussed it, haven't we?
We have, many times, yeah.
They have a lovely street market of a Sunday where the old
creative
railway,
quarter, yeah.
It's very, very clever what they've done with Folkestone. Mm. And lovely beaches, lovely walks, lovely eateries, as you would call them, and independent restaurants. So this grant could help transform even more Folkestone, parts of which have been derelict for more than 60 years.
Wow.
I love a derelict site.
A bit like you.
Yeah, a bit like you really. Needs a bit of work. So this is the Folkestone and Hive District Council, and they've put forward a brownfield land released fund application for the Ship Street project last September.
Right.
And the council's developing an idea which could see a mixed-use housing-led development with courtyard gardens, space for small shops and cafes, public creative and cultural space on the site. And it bought the freehold of the former gasworks.
Blimey.
A bit like you, really.
Mm.
In 2021, as no private developers have stepped in to develop, I wonder why, to develop the 1.54 hectare plot. What's a hectare?
Hectare,
not Hector's house.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Is it more than an acre?
A measurement, I can't remember.
Oh, well, why are they using hectares and not acres? Just asking.
I don't know.
I only know yards and feet and inches.
Yeah.
I was saying I was cooking the other day, and
don't you know killer stones? And
well, I ordered 5 litres of milk from Riverford by mistake. I don't know what a litre is. You know, I know pints. And new husband put it in the fridge. Said, "You've got 5 litres." I said, "And?" And it was this huge amount of milk, but we've sent it off to London with some friends. Anyway, so this 1.5 hectare, as you call it, not hectare, right, plot over many years. Applications for Home England's Infrastructure Delivery Fund and Affordable Homes Fund will also be considered once a decision has been made. It's estimated the project will cost around £40 million. And Homes England have already agreed to provide some funding for the design development of the scheme. The project also plans to develop pleasant walking. I love these press releases. What's pleasant walking, Paul Andrews?
I have no idea.
Can you walk in a pleasant way?
Yeah.
Walk in a pleasant
manner. The Ministry of Silly Pleasant Walking.
Would you have your hand on your hip, perhaps? And some brogues.
Sachet.
And some brogues.
Yeah.
Perhaps some plus fours for pleasant walking. And cycling links between the harbour and Folkestone Central Station. You can visit Folkestone website by going to folkestone-hythe.gov.uk, and it's a slash with ship-street. I'm very careful how I say that.
Yeah.
Ship-street for more info about the site's history and the bright future. So if you can walk in a pleasant way, do go along and look at that. So it's folkestone-hythe.gov.uk/ship-street. I love that, and I love Folkestone. And
cool.
We will all walk in a pleasant manner when we go there.
Absolutely. We'll have to practice walking in a pleasant manner. There's Kent Virtual Networking. Mary Eniulu of Can Do Academy is hosting this free online event. These Kent events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. It's a virtual online event taking place on Wednesday, the 25th of January, 4 to 5 p.m. If you want to find out more or book your free space on it, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find it there. There's also a Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable being presented by On a Dog Walk Events. That's Sue and Deb. That's Sue Hainsby and Deborah Turner. Start 2023 with a to-you list. Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable event followed by wine tasting and a three-course lunch. Yeah. It's taking place at the Balfour Winery, 5 Oak Lane, Staplehurst, on Thursday, the 2nd of February. It's 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Oh, that long.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of quaffing and squaffing to go on there, haven't you?
Exactly.
You got a three-course lunch and a lot of wine and a bit of networking and a bit of business making. So, again, to find out more about it, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. Likewise, the same address, if you want to be part of the Seven Oaks Chamber Business Booster Seminar taking place on February the 9th, 10:30 till 12 at Bat and Ball Station. You like Bat and Ball Station, don't you?
Yeah.
Bat and Ball Station is a new conference centre by Bat and Ball Station just outside Seven Oaks. It's the ultimate guide to navigating uncertainty and change with Denise Holland. Throughout time, human beings have survived challenging times, yet this offers little comfort if you experience apathy, low energy levels or stress. In this current climate, you may be a business owner concerned by your employees' well-being or an individual wanting more from life. You can wait for situations to change to feel better, or you can get your insight into your changeful psychology, unlock your innate creative potential and feel well now, irrespective of circumstances. So that's Business Booster Seminar on February the 9th. Right. I think it's more than time that we spoke to someone sensible on this radio show.
Drum roll.
Absolutely. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the first time, and probably the last now she's seen it and won't want to come back again, the lovely Becky Newman of Beeline Recruitment. Becky, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Paul and Jules. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
And she hails from where I hail from, Tankerton.
Yeah, Tankerton girls.
Yeah, we are Tankerton. We shall meet on the beach.
I have to tell you, listener, that all the time we've been off air, we've had loads of stories going backwards and forwards about all the people they know in Tankerton and all the gossip that's going on in Tankerton.
And the bottles of wine we can drink.
Yeah. And we've mentioned Serenity Becker, of course. Serenity Becker on the Twitter, who has beauty salons all around.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Becky, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about Becky and your background and, your whole kind of CV, as it were.
Right. Okay. So where do I start? So I suppose I had quite an unconventional start into my career. Well, I thought it was unconventional. I suppose I went to university, but had children very young, fell pregnant at uni, left uni, but did a secretarial course while I was pregnant. So had a baby at 20, then had another one at 22. That relationship didn't work out. So when my youngest was about 6 months, I went back to university to try and do something for myself and, you know, set a good example for my children and, start my career, I suppose.
Right.
And so went back to uni, which I absolutely loved.
Where did you go and what did you study?
So I went to Greenwich University and I studied business and marketing.
Wow, okay.
So that was, yeah, lots of hard work and challenging, as you could imagine, with two small children and on my own. So, but yeah, it was very rewarding once I got to the end of it.
I mean, that's pretty impressive though, isn't it? You know, single mum. When you have two kids?
Two kids, yeah.
Back at university?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. Lots of late nights.
Yeah, of course.
And then so once I'd finished my degree, I started a job in Ashford, local to here.
Very local.
Sagittarius
marketing. Oh, yeah. Paul Stevens, yeah, Sagittarius marketing. Yeah.
And that was kind of really opened my eyes up to business and a very fast paced agency, which I absolutely loved working there. So I learnt a lot.
How long were you there?
So I was there for 5-6 years.
Wow.
Right.
So you strapped all your children into a corner of the room while you went off to work somehow.
So, yeah, lots of breakfast clubs, after-school clubs. Thankfully, you know, schools, and I live very close to my mum and dad, so they helped a lot with childcare. And so when I met my husband now, and I've got a younger...
You need to name him, otherwise he'll sulk tonight. Yeah.
His name's Matt.
Hello, Matt.
He's probably sleeping at the moment because he's working, he's on nights.
Bless.
So, yeah, when I met him and had my youngest, I actually left Sagittarius and after maternity worked for a local recruitment company. So then that was kind of my introduction into recruitment. And then I left there and started a business with a business partner who I worked with. That didn't work out, but I think I learned a lot. I don't think I would have done that or maybe on my own. Mm-hmm. So, doing it with somebody else really helped me understand how to just set up a business all the way through to getting clients and the recruitment side of things as well, which she was very experienced in. So I learned a lot from her. Mm. But then I think we just had different visions. So it didn't work out. And
what was your vision?
So it was to have a business, but because I'd missed quite a lot with my first two children, I didn't want to miss out on my youngest. So, the business was all about lifestyle and being able to be there for the pickups at school and also work and
so
have
important.
My own money. So that's what I did. So when we decided to go our separate ways, within 48 hours, I kind of built myself a website, sat around the table with the kids, came up with a name.
Wow. Did the kids come up with a name?
Yes,
we
kind of were going down animal routes and insects and I love bees, and so then we thought beeline, because you know,
right,
beeline for a right candidate, so we thought, right, let's go for it. So registered the name, and when you think you're being quite unique on a name, and then you look it up and there's hundreds of people that already use, yeah,
especially honeymakers.
it's one of the funniest things about trying to start a business these days. Trying to come up with a unique name is really difficult, and also you then have to make sure that all the URLs and social media handles are all available. Mm. But of course, once you do that, you're competing with the entire world. It's a nightmare inventing names. Yeah.
So I was quite lucky because it was there. So bought it. And then, so then it was just kind of a big learning curve again, you know, getting new clients, all of those cold calls. And
yeah. When did you launch Beeline?
2016.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
and was your vision to specialise in a specific job area?
Yeah. So my actual background was I always worked in marketing, project management. And so first of all, I started recruiting for jobs within marketing and project management. And then that kind of just grew from there. So once I started with one company, they'd say, oh, could you work on this job? And I'd say, you know, always honest. Okay, I haven't worked in that area before, but recruitment's, you know, once you know how to recruit and you know how to build those relationships up and you give, you know how to do the full recruitment process, you start testing out, you know, can I recruit this? And
sure.
You know, and you can.
Because the processes are the same and the skill sets are the same in terms of interviewing and checking things out.
And it's
all
about asking the right questions.
Exactly.
And building that relationship up with the client, making sure you understand their culture and who these people are going to be working with, and making sure that they're a right fit. And I'd say I was probably quite a good judge of character, and it's asking the candidate the right questions, because sometimes candidates open up to a recruiter because they tell you more. Mm. And I'm not there to try and trip them up or, you know, ask them any difficult questions. I just actually really want to know what job they want, because then I can put them in the right job. Mm. Otherwise, it's not going to work, and the client's not going to be happy. So it's just, I suppose it's a matchmake, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. But you're right, you know, it is very much about understanding the culture of the people that you're recruiting for. Otherwise it would just be an automated process, wasn't it? And lots of people have tried to automate the recruitment process, but it doesn't really work.
No, it definitely doesn't work.
You know,
you have to get to know that person and understand what their goals are. You know, there's no point putting somebody in a role if they're, you know, really want to progress their career if actually that job, it's only going to be that job yeah. you're not going to ever progress.
Yeah.
So it's just really understanding. Mm. And it's important for a client as well when they're taking on an agency to work with, especially if it's their first time employing somebody, it's a big responsibility for us to make sure we get that right. Because if it's not right, then it can damage how they recruit in the future.
Absolutely. It's also, it's just so important for employers to understand the recruitment market as well and where it is at the moment. And many years ago, when it was a buyer's market, employers could kind of dictate what they were doing. These days, there's a huge shortage of talent. There's 1.1 million unfilled jobs in the UK. So it's a balance, isn't it? It's about attracting the right people, but it's also about selling your company, your organisation as a place to work.
Mm. Yeah, and it's so important to have, you know, to be visible on social media and having those reviews, Google reviews for your company, because when I speak to candidates, you know, they'll do their research.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they'll look you up on Companies House. They'll look up to see you on social media, what you've been doing, what you've been saying. And, you know, if they don't like it, they say, no,
not going.
It's not
the company absolutely.
For me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the candidates, it's been really strange. Obviously, when you've had COVID, when we came back, when, you know, a lot of people were furloughed, a lot of
they're all on my beach opposite my house, actually. And I was going out in my pyjamas at 11 p.m. at night. Going
clear
me.
Off.
Some of us have to work tomorrow. You know, the work from home as we were seething.
Yeah, but a lot of people didn't go back, did they, after being furloughed?
Well, we've talked about this on the show, haven't we, Paul? That there are how many people that have just decided they're not going to go back ever?
Well, I mean, we have 5 million people that are not economically active in the UK. Between the ages of 16 and 64, 5 million. They're not unemployed because they're not on the unemployed register, but they're not working either and not claiming universal credit.
Right. What's interesting, though, a lot of candidates that have been speaking to recently have decided that, you know, they've taken that break, but now they're like, oh, actually, all that money that maybe the second income was bringing in was the holidays. And was the extras,
yeah, and the meals out and the nice
and
things.
And people are actually, we're really missing that.
Yeah.
And so I am seeing more people coming back, more women.
Mm. It's interesting. I think
the ones that were baking banana bread and having time off.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, the cost of living crisis that we're facing is driving more people back into work.
Definitely. People can't afford their bills at the moment.
Exactly, And also, it's interesting this as well, because as you made reference to, Becky, a lot of people were working from home and didn't want to go back to work when the pandemic and the lockdowns all came to an end. Of course, a lot of people now are reviewing that and going, hold on a minute, if I'm working from home, I've got to pay my gas and electricity bill all day. It might be better to go back to the office and use their gas and electricity. Yeah.
That's true. There's a little cafe I go to in Barnes when I have my roots done.
In a barn?
In Barnes, in southwest London. And that cafe was always quite empty. It's a small, it's about the size of this room, but great food. Now, in winter, it's...
Is it a greasy spoon?
No, it's a very lovely Polish... they do lovely flapjacks, all homemade cakes and things. And they do I always have my cooked breakfast in there, but it's nice. It's more than a greasy spoon. But it used to be empty. There'd be like nobody sitting because they're all locals. So they'd go in and get their cake and go home. Now in winter, it's full of people with laptops, with one coffee, sitting there all day.
Yeah.
And that's quite interesting because it must be a bit annoying if they're not spending money, if they're just having one coffee.
And staying warm.
And staying. But that's the thing, you know.
There's an easy way around that. You cut off their internet after 5 minutes, after 15 minutes, that's all.
But it's interesting that it's about the heating, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So Becky, you started Beeline Recruitment in 2016, so 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Presumably you work from home like a lot
of
people.
Yeah, I've got an office in my garden.
Yeah. Right, you've got a garden office.
Yeah, I do, but I tend to work inside because it's either hot or it's cold in there.
It's a garden shed, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Glorified.
We often just work in the summer at our office, at our garden table, just with a laptop and that. And that's our office.
They dug a pond in their garden, right? Yeah. And then they both went and sat in it.
Yeah.
It's a pond. It's not a swimming pool. It's a pond. Yeah.
Up to here.
Is this one you're saying you've swimming in?
No, I don't swim in that. I've got a little indoor pool. But no, we've now got koi carp in there, so we don't go in case
room.
In case they nibbled us.
In case you sat on them.
But it was when we had that really hot September and we went in.
So, Becky, as you said, when you first started, you were looking at marketing people, which is your background in project management. So talk about the range of people that you help recruit for now.
Yeah, so in terms of the clients.
In terms of the skill sets you're looking for.
So anything from kind of administration roles. So you can be junior roles. It could be perhaps their second role into kind of a business setting or an office environment, all the way up to management, project management. Just recently recruited for a kind of foundation manager, so we do lots of stuff on the charity sector as well. So logistics as well, lots of staff that kind of the communication side. Most roles, you know.
Okay. Have you got a feel for, there may not be a thing, but is there a particular skill set that's in demand over anything else?
Apart from hospitality, which is an obvious.
I'd say sales is one of the, there's a big gap where it's so hard to find salespeople.
Yeah. Is that something you recruit for, salespeople?
Yeah, we do recruit for salespeople. It's difficult, but...
It's interesting, isn't it? In the UK, we've used sales as a really tacky thing. Many years ago, I lived and worked in the US. And in the US, you can get a degree in sales, not marketing, in sales. And sales is seen as a very, very advanced industry to work in. And it's, you know, people that work in sales have a lot of kudos. In the UK, not so much. I mean, every organisation needs salespeople, but we tend to frown on it. I don't know if I'm right or wrong about it.
Within companies, they kind of, sales and marketing go together, but they are very two different skill sets.
Yeah.
So, the salesperson might bring in doing some LinkedIn work to do some research and... you know, trying to find business. But it's that the phone skills that are lacking and
phone,
just the networking. And
well, we have a generation, if my kids are listening, I'm sure they'll agree, where I phone my kids and they won't answer, but they'll WhatsApp me constantly.
The
whole conversation
now,
is WhatsApp. We have whole, you know, dramas on WhatsApp, but they won't pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And I find now a lot of people don't pick up the phone. Yeah, you phone them and they don't answer. And, you know, you're giving them something that they benefit from, like coming on air.
That's actually a good point. I mean, as a salesperson yourself, which you need to be as part of the job of recruitment, how do you find that? Yeah, how do you find new clients? Is there still a lot of cold calling in your industry or is that not working anymore?
Not so much. So I do a lot more networking. So I'm part of networking groups. BNI, which which I have got lots of my referrals through. Kind of working with them, and then you know once they test you out, they start
sending you more,
exactly. Or referring you to their clients as well. Mm-hmm. I do kind of messages on LinkedIn to businesses, or I see people are recruiting. I might contact them and say, you know, we've got some candidates within that field. You know, would you like to have a chat and see whether, you know, we can work with them?
Because we were talking off air about the tech industry, which obviously boomed, absolutely went berserk during lockdowns and everything, where everybody needed different setups around the world. And I know that, for example, Salesforce and Stripe are laying off people. And Amazon, they laid off because, you know, the work from home thing is possibly changing. So do you get involved in the tech side?
Not
tech
so much,
does
but
boom.
You do see, you know, it's everything's becoming cloud-based systems. You know, I know myself, you know, I use a recruitment system. It's called JobAdder. I think it's called JobAdder.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it does everything, you know, from my invoicing to looking at all my sales statistics, you know, all my stats. And I can just go onto the dashboard and, you know, all my CVs go in there, the whole recruitment process from start to finish. So
And it's software as a service, that, isn't it? It's a SaaS product. It's in the cloud.
Sounds amazing.
And I can just get it on my phone if I've got a candidate, if I'm speaking to them.
So you can be on the beach in a deck chair with your jobs adder. What was it called again?
It's called
Job Adder.
So I, you know, if our candidate phones me, I can quickly go on there, find the profile, look at their CV, and can do that from anywhere. So I suppose, going back to your question, things are changing, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Without tech. My tech guy sends me these, when I've got a problem, he sends me this geeky thing where I have to log in and then it goes resolved, or you probably know what it is, Paul. I hate it because I can never understand. I go, can you just WhatsApp me? Can you just, you know? So I don't like anything too techy or geeky, but these apps are really, really useful.
Oh, definitely.
Cool. So 6 years in.
Yeah.
are you pleased that you started your own business?
Yeah, definitely. It's given me the opportunity to, obviously learn a lot and work with some really interesting clients. I speak to so many different candidates as well. I suppose I do become a bit of an agony aunt sometimes when the candidates come.
But that's
what I love. And it's so rewarding when you meet somebody and, I've had a few where they're desperate to get back into work and seeing them get into a job that they're loving
and blossom.
And catching up with them like a year later and they're still really enjoying their job and the, you know, happy candidates, happy clients is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. I love the way you said that you look for the right fit. And I think that's lovely that, you know, your feminine, womanly thing is that you're quite a mum as well. So you're looking to make people happy in their job, which is, you think about it, how many hours we spend working.
Who wants to get up and you need not to enjoy their job?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. And that's what we're all about.
And with what your husband does, do you ever get involved in the medical professions or not?
No.
Or do you avoid it like the plague?
Yeah, we just keep our
avoid it like the plague. I see what you did there.
Very separate. medical secretaries and that side of things.
You would.
Kind of admin stuff.
So the admin.
But not
do you know what?
Nurses.
I've yet to find a medical secretary, sorry if you're listening, who answers the phone as well. They never answer. They always phone you back. They're great, but they never, ever answer the phone.
I don't want to deflect because we finished talking to Becky, but some of those are hilarious. My old mum, bless her, 94, middle of last year, she had a hospital appointment. It came through in a letter and it said, please, 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 if you can't make this appointment, please ring our appointment cancellation line. Mm. Well, my mum couldn't make that appointment because she had another appointment in a different hospital for a different thing on the same day at the same time. Mm. So I rang the cancellation line and I said, right, my mum can't make this appointment. Can you cancel it? And they went, no. I'm sorry. And they went, no, sorry, we can't cancel those appointments. Hold on, I've got a letter here that says you're the cancellation line. Yeah, but we can't cancel that. You'll have to speak to the consultant direct. And I went, well, how do I do that? And they went, well, we don't know. And I said, well, have you got a phone number for the consultant? I can't give you that. I went, well, how am I supposed to cancel this appointment? Well, don't really know. Okay, fine, we just won't turn up.
It's bad, isn't it?
It's terrible. Anyway. Enough of that. Let's come back to Becky and Beeline Recruitment, who are much better than that.
Yes.
Much better.
We do answer the phone.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, do you do permanent recruitment and temp recruitment or just permanent?
So it's permanent and contracts as long as they're kind of more than 4 months.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So and in terms of how we do the recruitment process from start to finish, you know, we always, once we take the job on, the briefing, we do a lot of headhunting as well as advertising. We do all of the kind of interviewing and then we will phone interview, then video interview. And then we'll put their profile together and then we'll select the strongest. Depending on what role it is, sometimes you'll have just that great one that you've got, or you might have five, you know. Yeah. It depends on what the role is. And then we put them forward to the client. They will then assess, interview, and then we'll handle all of the negotiations afterwards.
So do you show the client the video interviews or not?
No, so that's a video interview between us two. Okay. And yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
Because that would maybe, be great maybe, just to,
yeah, to
send them.
Actually record it. And,
yeah, yeah, the ones that you select, then you could send the client the video clip and then they could also get
it. It's been really interesting in a recruitment business. Video interviewing has been around for about 30 years and nobody took it up. Nobody really wanted to know. Mm. What really made it happen was the lockdowns Zoom. Eventually. And yeah. we got so used to doing everything on Zoom.
Yeah.
Now, there's we've actually got a blog about how to do a video interview on the radio website because it's now become a thing that people expect to be video interviewed.
We did this whole show on Zoom.
Yeah.
And I got into wearing statement earrings and nothing else, really. Waist up.
It was horrible. It was horrible having to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been brilliant for us. You
yeah,
know,
absolutely. For, yeah, it's changed. It's changed how people do it. Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make the point as well. You do contract recruitment. That, as a business, that has an impact on you because then you need cash flow to do contract stuff.
Well, we do it in a different way in terms of contracts. So the client actually would say if that person's self-employed, they would invoice them or they go on to their
So you're just sourcing contractors?
We're just sourcing them. Yeah, okay. Sourcing the contractors. Right. And then, then they'll tell us how much they've worked. And then we will invoice them.
Yeah. Otherwise, it becomes a very expensive proposition to cash flow. Yeah. Becky, that's a fascinating insight into what you're doing. Thank you for sharing that with us. If people want to find out more about Beeline Recruitment, what's the best way to do that?
So just go on to our website, beelinerecruitment.co.uk.
Fantastic.
All the details are on there.
That's brilliant. Becky, thank you so much for that.
Wow,
do stay with us for the rest of the show. There's not long to go.
Everybody says that and then they go, when can I come on again?
Yeah.
I feel like there was all those things that you didn't mention.
Yes, you can always tweet us. But I was going to say that years ago in my 20s, so very many years ago, I used to work for a dental nursing agency. So I was a dental nurse and then I worked for an agency in South Ken. So do you do ever any agency work or that sort of thing? Temping?
No.
That's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
It's kind of...
quite high pressure, I would think.
Yeah, and you have, a pool of candidates on your database who you kind of just keep using and, it's quantity, whereas we're more kind of...
Quality.
Yeah. It's more about getting the right person for that long-term investment for that business. Which is, companies want that. Obviously, there's a need for temps.
Yeah.
Especially, if somebody goes off on maternity, they don't want maybe a contractor. They just want someone to temp now and again, to fill the gaps.
Yeah. And sickness.
And sickness, yeah.
Yeah, which is huge at the moment as well. That's interesting because I know that was very high pressure, so I'd go off to Harley Street or this dentist or that dentist and you'd sort of know that morning. Basically, you'd wake up and where am I going today? And, you'd get the call.
But I bet you learned so much
going
to different businesses.
Oh, I loved it.
Different,
exactly. You learn a lot. And
learning to work with different types of people as well.
Yeah, especially dentists because they all have a different way of working and, throw the equipment at you and things like that. But
a few fake teeth. Yeah.
But also receptionists, you can't, in those days, you couldn't manage without a receptionist or a front of house. In those days, they do an appointment on a little appointment card.
Yeah, and everything's automated now with appointments.
Boy, does it take a long time. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. So you go to the dentist now, and in the old days, they go, can you come on Tuesday? You go, yeah, fine. And they put it on a little card and off you trot. Now they go, oh, sorry, the computer's really slow. And you're standing there like...
And then you get a text through as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you'll soon be at the point where you don't have to go through the dentist. You just send your teeth in.
Oh, how sweet. Yeah.
Well, they send your teeth in, they'll fix them and send them back.
I tell you, because of all my homeopathy, which has got quite a bit of sugar in, I need to find a sugar-free one. I've had 3 fillings for the first time for 20 years. And because they're in my mouth, for a long time, away from meals. And do you know how much 3 fillings cost, Paul Andrews?
Yeah, I do.
Just under £500 for 3 fillings.
That's a bargain.
With 2 x-rays. And the checkup now,
is
they're
that a
charging.
White filling?
Adaptic, I call it Adaptic. Yeah. What they call, there's a word for it. But yeah, I won't have amalgam. I had all my amalgams taken out a couple of years ago.
Mm.
But there's going to be a two-tier society. Who can afford that? I've got insurance, health insurance, but who can afford that? Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
And I think checkups now, somebody was saying they're about 80 quid for a checkup.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. Yeah. It used to be free for a checkup.
Mm.
So.
But the trouble is, you can't get an NHS dentist anymore unless you're a child.
Yeah, it is.
And then if you didn't go during COVID, then you get struck off because you haven't been for
2 years. Right, we've had a new listener ask for a shout out.
Oh, really?
A lady called Adele Bailey. And she says, can you give our SME business a shout out, please? It's Bailey's of Chef. Bailey of Chef is their Twitter handle. And they make stainless steel jewellery.
I thought you said they were a chef.
Sheffield. Yeah, as in Sheffield, S-H-E-F-F.
And what do they make? Stainless steel
jewellery? Stainless steel jewellery.
Stainless?
Yeah. Stainless steel.
Wow. Well, Sheffield is famous for steel, isn't it? Used to be like the hub of stainless steel.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? It's really sad today. There was a double-decker bus that crashed. It skidded in ice.
And I saw that into a motorbike.
But you know that they were on the way to the Hinkley power station project.
Yeah.
So that's being built, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a nuclear power station.
I wonder
if
it was sort of a sabotage or, you know, I was thinking.
Well, I think they just crashed.
Seems a bit strange though, doesn't it?
Well, crashes happen, don't they?
Well, they do, yeah.
Tracy Ferguson says, what a lovely interview with Becky.
And she looks lovely,
oh,
Tracy.
Thank you.
I've been admiring her, Tracy. You're going to see at the end of show results, she's got this beautiful scarf, which is a real whiz because it's half tartan
and half leopard skin.
If she fancies being
depends
Scottish.
What mood I'm in,
and if she fancies being jungly, she's got the old leopard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tracy says it's a great business name too, and she's got a little gif of a bee.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Right, I want to tell you about this.
Bated breath.
Start for Success with guest speakers. Jan Cavell's latest book, Start for Success, aims to help and encourage every aspiring and early-stage entrepreneur plan and reach their dream of a successful business. To celebrate the release of her book, Jan is hosting an interactive webinar alongside a list of international entrepreneurs from a diverse range of industries. With two sessions to choose from, there will be plenty of themes to discuss for what it's like to be an entrepreneur. It's a virtual event taking place on the 25th of January. There are two time slots. In the first time slot, which is the 10 a.m. session, you can hear from Danny Matthews, who's the CEO of Danny & Co., Georgia Metcalf of French Bedroom Company, Shem Richards of Goldilocks Suit, Tom Mills of Two Ocean Strategy, and Lena Barker of Aaron Wallace, and Richard Osborne of the UK Business Forums. In the second session, which takes place at 6 p.m, you can hear from Mark Haywood of Sway PR, Glenn Bimami of BPS Security, Laura Harnett of the Seep Company, Dr. Wei Xin Lei of Acoustic Sheep, Daniel Koffler of New Frontiers, and Michael Holmstrom of Stempunks. If you want to find out more, they're fantastic names, aren't they? Yeah, Acoustic Sheep and Stempunks and all that. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to start a new business just to invent a stupid name, really. Yeah.
Should come up with one now.
Yeah.
Stempunks.
Yeah. KenBusinessRadio.co.uk/calendar to find out all about that and to book your tickets. What you got, Jules?
Well, successful first year of trading for a new startup. We do love a startup on the Business Bunker. It's the XT Biomed, and it's medical technology manufacturer XT Biomed, and they're a new startup, as I said, based in the Maidstone Innovation Centre, and they're celebrating a successful first year in the new location. The new company began life in the MIC, that's the Maidstone Innovation Centre, as it opened early in 2022 and has not only increased the size of the team, it's also made good first-year profits. XT-Biomed develop products for the medical industry, so work within one of the most regulated sectors in the UK. I expect Matt probably uses one of these. We don't know, do we, what he's up to, but I'm sure he does. They also have recently passed, there's lots of letters here, which nobody will know what they are, but it's a BSI ISO 13485 2016 and lots of others, which is the best internationally accepted model a medical device organisation can implement to help demonstrate compliance to laws and regulations of the medical device industry. So To find out more about the Maidstone Innovation Centre, go to maidstoneinnovationcentre.co.uk. And a very well done from the Business Bunker team to XT Biomed, who are developing these amazing products for the medical industry.
Fantastic.
I've got jaw ache after reading that.
Have you?
It's very long.
All those numbers.
Oh. Yeah. There's Maidstone Business Boost Startup Workshop. It's our free startup workshop on Wednesday, the 18th of January. That'll be manana tomorrow,
yeah,
won't it?
Manana.
Yeah, between 9:30 a.m. and 3 p.m. It's the perfect opportunity to hear from industry specialists with free tips and guidance to boost your business. It's taking place at the Business Terrace, which is King Street, Maidstone. As I say, manana, 18th of January, 9:30 till 3. If you want to find out more about it, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. And coming up is the Kent Farming Conference.
Oh, I love a farmer.
Oh, do you?
Anyone in britches.
Yeah. Turnip diggers.
Yeah. I do love a farmer.
The Kent Farming Conference 2023 will delve into the future of farming, covering topics such as innovation and sustainability. This is taking place on Wednesday, the 25th of January, from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. They're obviously waiting for the sun to go down when they can't work anymore. They come in from the fields.
Yeah, of course.
It's taking place at the Kent County Agricultural Society showground at Detling. That's the county showground just outside Maidstone. Wednesday, the 25th of January, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And Paula Grady has written another book that follows the adventures of Eddie Albert and the amazing animal gang. The last book was titled The Amsterdam Adventure, but this time the setting is closer to home and is set on the Romney Marsh.
Yeah, well, Paula Grady lives in St Mary's on the Marsh, doesn't he?
He does. The book is titled The Curse of the Smuggler's Treasure, and it's his second book. In the Eddie Albert series, Eddie is described as an ordinary boy with an amazing secret talent. Unbeknownst to anyone, he can speak to animals. That's like Dr. Doolittle, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely. Has he snatched that idea, yeah. Do you think?
Yeah. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted again. What a lovely interview with Becky. She says she has a very different background to Gina, but equally interesting. Parenting itself shows enormous skills. Huge kudos to her for going back to university to complete her degree whilst on her own too. So many experiences in her career. Inspirational.
Yeah, oh, that's nice. So that's it's all been worth it.
You have fans, you see. Yeah. Campaigners are raising funds to restore a derelict historical railway station that they believe could be a great asset. Lydd Railway Station in Kent closed to passengers in 1967. The station is on Romney Marsh and it's now missing its roof.
Caught fire, didn't it, recently?
Gutted.
Yeah.
Gutted.
I bet they were. Oh, I see. The station was gutted.
Gutted by a fire in November. Mm. Network Rail said it worked to find potential new stations, but Lydd was not currently a location we're actually pursuing, they said. Andy Nash of the Lydd Station Heritage Group said, we're hoping to first save the building and do something for local people, maybe a drop-in centre, a cafe, maybe even a museum. The whole site could be a great asset to the town. So if anybody's got any ideas, contact Andy Nash of the Lydd Station Heritage Group. They could have a hot desking area there, couldn't they, as well?
Yeah, they could do.
I'd have thought that a place like Lydd would need a railway station because
It's got a railway line. It just doesn't stop
doesn't
there.
Do it, yeah. But, you know, infrastructure, they're building, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they need a chugger train, don't they, to get around?
It's like Appledore Station. I drove past Appledore Station the other day and there's a sign outside that says there will be no trains stopping here today. Point.
Exactly.
What is the point?
Exactly. Mind you, they are on strike as well.
Yeah, that's
probably... See, I've got to take my mum to Moorfields on Monday morning and I'm just really worried. Her appointment's at 10:30.
Right.
I said to my new husband, that's rush hour for leaving Whitstable.
You need to leave about 6 a.m.
Probably after, yeah, it's just, and you know, all you need is one car accident and you're stuck on the motorway.
Are you driving there then?
Yeah, I'm not going to take it on the train. It'll take forever and cost a fortune.
Aren't you going to get your bikes out?
No.
Oh, okay.
My electric bike. When I flew
Have
over
you got an electric bike?
Yeah, I got it for Christmas, but yeah. I flew over the handlebars. They're really heavy. I'm really good on a bike, but
hold on,
I
don't know about this. We need to have a know, but you went over the handlebars, your electric bike.
It was when I was in, where was I? I can't remember, Dorset.
Right.
I was going along and I thought I could just go up this hill and it didn't really start. I broke all my ribs. You remember I broke my ribs?
Oh, this was a while ago.
Yeah, about two years ago.
Because it was like the Monty Python sketch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Monday, fell off in Dorset.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Nothing to do with any cider. But it's sort of reared up, and because it's a bit like a moped, and they are really
heavy. Reared up. You did a wheelie, didn't you?
Yeah, and it fell. The handlebar went into my ribs. And if anybody's listening that's had broken ribs, it's really painful.
It's painful, that.
I had to sit up with plumped
pillows.
Makes
you wheeze, doesn't it?
Yeah, wheeze and sit up with plumped pillows. Yeah. So I do like my electric bike, but they are really, really heavy. You need to know what you're doing. Beware.
Okay. I've had an email from Maidstone Borough Council.
Oh, dear. Are you in trouble?
No. They said they're committed to delivering 1,000 affordable homes.
Yeah. Well, good.
Maidstone Borough Council has commenced an ambitious project to build 1,000 new affordable homes in the borough and has started to make positive strides to achieve this. The council recognises the need for more affordable housing in the area and is determined that those in the local community who may not be able to afford to buy or rent privately have the opportunity to live in one of these new affordable homes. In order to achieve this, the council has recently made 3 appointments to its external consultancy team, all of which will now work together over the coming years to take forward a variety of development projects. The firms appointed by Maidstone Council are BPTW, the architects, Calford Seedon as the employer's agent, and that's quantity surveyor and project management, clerk of works, principal designers, and Redloft as the housing development consultants. These 3 firms were appointed through a rigorous procurement process and have already started work with the MBC on a range of exciting development opportunities. The 1,000 affordable houses will be part of the overall Maidstone housing target, which has been set by the government. Enabling infrastructure is one of the 4 priorities, and the project reflects that. If you want to find out more, you can sign up to their newsletter, maidstone.gov.uk/stayconnected.
And there's an evening of silent cinema.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a silent comedy on the big screen? It's a moment you don't want to miss. Think of Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton, and other heroes of the silent film era.
Fatty Arbuckle.
And they'll be accompanied by genius pianist Stephen Horn. The event will include a question and answer session with Stephen, moderated by Simon Tyler from Creekside Vinyl. And this is at the lovely Gulbenkian Cinema in Canterbury. It's on the 4th of Feb. And you can go to cultureinkent.org/events, and then you'll find the evening of silent cinema there. That sounds really, really exciting. Do you know what? When Canterbury Council bring in this 15-minute city...
Mm.
Will we be able to go to the Gulbenkian
Theatre? No, it wouldn't be allowed.
It's quite bizarre.
Have you seen the one in Oxford? Local residents, they put in these barriers and things.
They're doing it, are they?
Yeah. They're putting up the barriers and the zones, and they put them up during the day, and the local residents come out and take them away at night.
Take them away at night?
Yeah, dug them up. Dug them up and moved them.
Permanently taken.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There's a revolution going on in Oxford.
Because it's really getting difficult. We all want to... Look, where I live on the seafront, and you'll know this, Becky, they come for the fresh air and they sit with their car exhaust on for 2 hours running with the window open in the lovely weather, eating the fish, and then they throw the packet out, but that's another story. And Kent County Council don't do anything. They've told us to go out and tell people, and of course you get abuse. But, you know, that's the thing they should be targeting. Engine idling is worse than driving. Mm. They can't stop people going to school or going to work, surely. It's a bit Big Brother, isn't it? We've got Davos on at the moment, and they've all jetted there in their private jets.
They've all jetted and limoed and all around, and all got there and said, you don't want to fly anywhere and you don't want to go in a car.
And they'll be eating beef, no doubt.
Mm, yeah.
I did a lovely chili beef at the weekend.
Did
delicious.
You? Yeah. Was it nice?
Chuck steak I did.
Was it?
Yeah, it made it very hot. Yeah.
I like a hot chili.
Yeah, it was very hot.
I do like a hot chili, although she did try and kill me once. She went to China.
Maybe next time, eh?
She went to China and she bought some chili that was handmade in a Wuhan food market, right? And she bought this little jar back and she said, that's hot chili, that. You try that. And I was on air. I was live on air, and I took a teaspoonful of it, and I couldn't speak for a week, could
I? It went purple.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was extremely, extremely hot.
It was made of bat, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, but I didn't think he was going to actually try it live on air. I thought he'd take it home, have it with a bit of yoghurt and stir it in something. No, no, he just took a great big spoonful of it and then wondered why it went puce.
Yeah. She tried to kill me, Becky. She really did.
I've always fancied my own show.
Yeah.
But there's, I've got lots of long. I don't know if I've got time. I don't want to gabble, but there's a Rye Traders Beware.
Oh, it's, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's a bit naughty, isn't it?
It's a new group of... I haven't read it yet. So
I read it when I printed it off for you.
Do you plan this show? A new group of visitors has arrived, but local shops and businesses are so very far unimpressed with the new presence in town. Who are they? They are litter wardens introduced by Rotha District Council, whose role is to police the streets of Rye looking for fly tippers and for businesses dumping or disposing of waste and rubbish illegally. Several incidents have come to light where local businesses have turned to the Rye Chamber of Commerce for advice and assistance, and this is a typical example. So this is in speech marks. I've just been given a £400 fine for having fly-tipped cardboard outside of my shop. This is simply Ryan Market Road. The individual who issued the fine works as an environmental officer for Rotha. I'm absolutely shocked and appalled at what has happened today. What is happening to our town that now has litter wardens and parking enforcement officers out in force on a miserable wet Thursday in January? These people swarming our streets, giving out fines to local businesses and visitors, can only result in the demise of the town. We pay our landlord to rent a shop with outside private space. When we get a delivery of stock, we should be fully entitled to empty the boxes on the private land and leave it there for an hour without being confronted by a rude, arrogant litter warden who was not even interested in Ian showing him the evidential paperwork showing how we dispose of our cardboard. At a quiet time of year when profits will be minimal, but we continue to trade 6 days a week to help keep the town open and alive, this is a very bitter pill to swallow. To be classed as offenders of fly tipping on private land outside our trading address during trading hours is just taking it all a step too far. I'm absolutely furious. And that's from Fran of Simply Rye in Market Road. Another incident of overzealous councils, isn't it?
And, yeah, absolutely.
And
it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. They completely overstepped the mark of what they're there to do.
You know the little car park by Sainsbury's in Canterbury where I come through the woods?
Yeah, yeah, Kingsmead.
I arrived there once.
Kingsmead,
yeah. Thank you for that. I suddenly went out of my head.
Opposite the job centre and where they're building the Riverside thing.
Yeah.
I arrived there once. This is about 10 years ago. I parked, went to get my Ringo thing with my phone.
Yeah.
Got a text, answered it with my window open. And a traffic warden came and banged on my door while I'm texting someone saying, just arrive, I'll meet you in 10 minutes. And said, you need a ticket. I said, I've just arrived. He was really, really rude and abusive. Yeah. And I'd literally parked.
You actually have, I think it's 10 minutes to buy a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it just shows you the also, madness.
Leeway when you get back.
And you also have 10 minutes leeway when you get back.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I was really upset. And he was really nasty, actually, quite nasty.
And the parking.
I'm going to quickly try and get this story.
£7.
I'm going to quickly try and get this story in because we're at the end of the show.
Are you going to gabble?
I'm going to gabble if you don't interrupt. I parked my car and bought a Ringo ticket in Maidstone. And when I got back, I had a parking ticket on the thing. So I complained to the council and I said, look, I bought a Ringo ticket. And they went, yeah. What it is we've got two car parks with the same name next to each other.
Ugh.
Yeah, and you bought one for the other car park. I went, how would I know?
Yeah. It is bad.
It's bonkers, isn't it?
I know. We'd love to say a lovely hello to all our new listeners based there at the St. Ports Radio, wouldn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you next week.
And we do want to hear from you, as Jill says. But we've reached the end of the show. A big thank you to Gina London and Becky Newman, our two guests, to my lovely co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back.